Rochester, New York. There were posters that looked like a series of images repeated over and over, such that it looked as if it was a picture of nothing. However, if you stepped back enough to get just the right distance, you would see an image. In a three-dimensional effect, out would pop a picture of Jesus. I remember the first time that I was asked to look and see what I could see. It took a while, and people were saying, "Do you see anything yet? Do you see it?" After I saw the image, I thought, isn't it amazing how a seemingly meaningless series of pictures can actually lead up to a startling image? All of us are always seeing a lot more than we think. Under hypnosis, people can remember the license numbers of cars that pass them on the street, or the eye color of the sales clerk that waited on them 3 weeks ago. Even when we are not consciously aware of it, our minds are taking in thousands of pieces of information, processing them and creating from these fragments of our general impressions of life, our basic concept of reality. When Jesus rose to read the scriptures in his hometown of Nazareth, the people gathered there were seeing a lot more than they thought. Even though these worshipers were impressed by Jesus' learning, they reacted to Jesus' words with amazement. They had a hard time taking to heart what he was saying. In Luke 4:22, immediately after Jesus announces, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled," the synagogue murmurs, "Is not this Joseph's son? He's not the Messiah, is he? He was just the boy down the street who's now grown up." Because this congregation could only see one small aspect of Jesus' being, they could not see his true image as the Son of God. Try looking at a series of images that makes up the person you present to the world. Consider that each time you respond to anything you encounter in your life, your reaction is just one part of an otherwise blank sheet of paper. Over the course of a lifetime, your paper becomes filled with your true image. If every experience you had in life was registered as one of those small series of pictures, like the poster in Timonelli's, what kind of pattern would that series form? We need to take steps to make sure that every picture in that series reflects the living presence of Christ in our lives. If the church is the body of Christ, then each one of us is a part of the composite image of Christ that the church presents to the world. Perhaps you can try some of these very simple ideas and see if people don't come to see Christ in you. 1. Make strangers you meet glad to have met you. Have you known a person whose presence in any group made a difference in the whole room? Someone who, when he or she entered the room, made the spiritual climate better, who lifted the mood and spirit of a meeting? Why not make it a matter of principle that no one who ever comes into your presence will leave the worse, but only better? 2. Bring peace to each meeting. Medical doctor Gerald Jampolsky wrote a book called Love is Letting Go of Fear. In it, he asked the question, have you ever given yourself the opportunity of going through just one day concentrating on totally accepting everyone and making no judgments? Try not keeping score of wrong, as the Apostle Paul says. Dr. Jampolsky adds, everything we think, say, or do reacts on us like a boomerang. When we send out judgments in the form of criticism, fury, or other attack thoughts, they come back to us. When we send out only love, it comes back to us. 3. Say positive things about people. There's a lot to be said for the old maxim, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. When you become conditioned to look for some good quality, some strong suit, and admittedly sometimes that is a bit of a challenge, it is surprising how much easier it gets. Take this great story, for example. Carl Coleman was driving to work one morning when he bumped fenders with another motorist. Both cars stopped, and the woman driving the other car got out to survey the damage. She was distraught. It was her fault, she admitted. And hers was a new car, less than 2 days from the showroom. She dreaded facing her husband. Coleman was sympathetic, but he had to pursue the exchange of license and insurance data. She reached into her glove compartment to retrieve the documents that were in an envelope. On the first paper to tumble out, written in her husband's distinctive hand, were these words: "In case of accident, remember, honey, it's you I love and not the car." 4. Look for the image of Christ in all of creation. Ignatius of Loyola once observed, "Consider how Christ works and labors for me in all creatures upon the face of the earth." If Christ labors in all creatures, then Jesus can be found in every aspect of creation. The family cat who touches your lip with her wet, cold nose to awaken you, like my Ophelia used to do. The birds who sing on the fence. The flowers that spread their fragrance over the garden. The rainforest in South America and the mountains in Colorado. The child playing in the schoolyard. The homeless woman fumbling for aluminum cans, all sharing in the image of Christ, and therefore both our responsibility and our joy. The writer of the Gospel of Luke takes great energy to present Jesus as intimately tied to his Jewish heritage at birth, and then also in our text today. Luke testifies to Jesus' Torah literacy by insisting that Sabbath day synagogue attendance was Jesus' custom. His attempt was, I believe, to demonstrate how comfortable Jesus was with his worship heritage. The scripture Jesus reads is startling in its images and promises, and Jesus further stuns the crowd by his assertion that today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. However, in all of this, Jesus maintains the orderly dignity of the worship service itself. The text foretells the very activities that Jesus' Galilean ministry will undertake in the manner of release and recovery. The body of Christ is brought into focus in this world one person at a time. For each of us who can manage to reproduce the image of Christ through the way we love and serve the Lord, the picture of Christ grows a little clearer and a little sharper each day. How we treat strangers, how we bring peace, how we speak of others, and how we look for the image of Christ in all of creation has an impact on the overall picture of Christ we exhibit as members of his church. Listen to a story about a man who thought he knew how to reflect the image of Christ and was asked to consider something else. Noeline Martin, from New South Wales, Australia, tells of the time when Mother Teresa visited the continent. This story took place several years before her death. A new recruit to the Franciscan Order in Australia, Noeline was assigned to be her guide and gopher during her stay. Thrilled and excited at the prospect of being so close to this great woman, he dreamed of how much he would learn from her and what they would talk about. But during the visit, he became frustrated. Although he was constantly near her, the friar never had the opportunity to say one word to Mother Teresa. There were always other people for her to meet. Finally, her tour was over, and she was due to fly to New Guinea. And in desperation, the Franciscan friar spoke to the Mother Teresa and said, "If I pay my own fare to New Guinea, can I sit next to you on the plane so I can talk to you and learn from you?" Mother Teresa looked at him. "You have enough money to pay airfare to New Guinea?" she said. "Yes," he replied eagerly. "Then give the money to the poor," she said. "You'll learn more from that than anything I can tell you." Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." It is a powerful description of a call to ministry. May God bless us to reflect the image of Christ in all we say and do and are. To God be the glory. Amen.